Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
For the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugar Land.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe, Ryan's in for Brian today. No Brian again then. The Twitchers are very upset about that. And we are broadcasting live from Baker Street Pub, Sugarland City Walk. We're a little bit later, Joe. Michelob Ultra is going to be giving away World Cup tickets. That doesn't happen every day.
No, it does not. There's going to be a lot of chances, too. Bunch of bars, 25 times between now and the start of the World Cup, because today's the first one between 5 to 8. Michelob Ultra will be out here tonight. There's a interactive soccer shootout. I don't know exactly what that means.
Sounds fun.
But it sounds fun, and there'll be a pair of tickets given away tonight to the World Cup, courtesy of Michelob Ultra.
I like things that are low risk, high reward.
Yes.
This is no risk, high reward.
Well, you come out here, you get some food.
Yeah.
Some beer.
No risk.
No risk.
All fun.
All fun.
All fun, high reward.
Yeah, and those ticket prices?
Right.
They're expensive.
I mean, winning this is going to save you like four digits
yes.
in money.
Yes.
It's like, that's good. They're going to be saving you like Ownwell saves.
Yeah, the worst it's going to do is cost you some money for some good beer and food.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah. That's. I mean, what a chance. What a chance for you. So get on out here. Michelob Ultra is going to be here from 5 until 8 o'clock at the Baker Street Pub, Sugar Land in the City Walk, and you're going to have your chance to win World Cup tickets. Plus, look at all the things that Baker Street Pub is doing today. They got happy hour from 2 o'clock until 9 o'clock, so it is happy hour now. We're very happy. It's all day Sunday, too. And they have $2.75 domestic drafts, house selections, along with $5 Jameson, Tito's, Jack Daniels, some Epsilon tequila, Westerson flavored vodkas as well. They have live bands, the Sammy Joe Band tonight. And then how about this one? Steak night. Steak night. So you can get on here, out of here, have a steak for less than $20. You can have all those fantastic drinks. You have your chance, thanks to Michelob Ultra, to win a pair of tickets to the World Cup, a World Cup game in Houston. I mean, that's your Friday night. Boom. It's over. Done.
Yeah, that's what
your
we're here
plans.
For.
Your plans are, we've booked them.
All right, we can leave now.
Yeah, we've done our public service for the day.
Yeah.
We've done our good deed for the day. You're going to come out here, you're going to eat great for a little amount of money. You're going to drink great for a little amount of money. And then you're also going to have your chance with the interactive soccer shootout, thanks to Michelob Ultra, from 5 until 8 to win a pair of World Cup tickets. So. All right, I guess now we'll just goof off the rest of the show.
Well, it's Friday.
Yeah, just goof off the rest of the show. No, that's gonna be the World Cup's gonna be awesome though. I've started to look at some of the international numbers because we bet soccer on this.
We
show.
Do.
I don't know if you've noticed, but we bet soccer on this show. We're up almost 2 units this week with our sweats of the day, thanks in large part to soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We've
won
one
game.
With the draw.
Yeah.
The draw. Yeah, the late draw that we didn't know that there was a draw.
Yeah, hope
yeah
not a lot.
We thought we lost, and all of a sudden, oh, they had a late equalizer. That's cool. Yeah, we won plus 340 there. But on the week, we're up almost 2 units, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
On the year, we're up almost 3/4 of a unit. And then today, we have the Astros plus 124,
mm-hmm.
and we have the under in runs at minus 7. So those are our sweats. Those are the things we're looking at. You know, the Astros up 4 runs is cool, but Cubs have some runners on base. The over-under is looking a little bit tight.
It's going to be a little tight.
It's going to be a little bit
tight. It's a low number. 7's the lowest one we've probably done this season.
Yeah, the wind's blowing in at Wrigley.
Yeah.
Didn't affect Christian Vasquez, though.
It did not.
Because Vasquez, you see what he did when he hit the home run, too. He flexed on him.
He should. He's Christian Vasquez.
Did they bring the hat back? The sombrero?
I
haven't seen it.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, I haven't really seen it.
So. Yeah, no, I think they left that behind.
They retired it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No fun for them.
Whatever. No big deal. But a lot of fun. Get on out here, Baker Street Pub, Sugar Land, City Walk, especially from 5 to 8, thanks to Michelob Ultra, your chance to win a pair of World Cup tickets. Astros are going to be facing a familiar foe today. And Alex
they are.
Bregman. Does that still do anything, you think, for Houston fans? We're like, hey, it's Bregman. Hey, it's a franchise icon. Hey, we love Alex Bregman. I mean, everybody loves Alex Bregman. But do you still get nostalgic at all facing Bregman, seeing his face?
I don't think people do. I think, like, that first season, people feel some kind of way, but – you know, with Springer and all these different guys that have left and gone elsewhere, and Correa when he was gone, like, at first, yes, maybe if it's a home game, it's a little bit different, but on the road, I don't think it does anything.
No. You see him on your TV screen. You see him on your TV screen enough anyways.
Yeah, the biggest reaction I saw today was people looking at his stats and going, yikes.
Yeah, he's not been good?
No.
What's happening to him? The good news is, though, he's only got 4 more years after this one left on his contract, paying him, what, like $35 million a year?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that's why you don't give out contracts.
Yeah, clearly.
People are like, oh, pay everybody. Okay, well, do you want to pay Alex Bregman $35 million a year for the level of production he's giving you for the next 4 years after this one? Big contracts, yay, pay everybody. Jim Crane needs to pay Correa. He needs to pay Yordan. He needs to pay Altuve. He needs to pay Cole. He needs to pay Springer. Of all those dudes who got that money, have any of them been positive ROI?
Probably the closest one, when he's been out there, I would say is Springer.
Well, when he's out there is a big part of the equation.
It is. Like, that's why it's probably the closest one. He's gone to a World Series. He's the only one that's accomplished anything with anywhere he's gone.
Cole's been good.
Yeah, Cole has, but I just don't put Cole in that category. You traded for him, like, you know, you kind of knew he was kind of an assassin when you got him. You had him for, what, a year and a half?
No, he was 2 full years. You got him in the offseason.
Oh, that's right, yeah, 2 full years of Cole. So, like, I just don't put him in that, I don't view him in that same category. Maybe it is the way he left a little bit. I know most people didn't like it at the time, but it did feel clear of, like, yeah, he was never really an Astro with the Boris hat there at the end. It just felt weird. So I just don't put him in that same category of, you know, Correa, Springer, Bregman that left.
That's fine. Yeah. I always consider him a mercenary as well. He was awesome, though.
He was so good.
He was so good. People hate him.
He's back today. First time this season.
He didn't pitch what, all last year?
Yeah.
Like three or four starts,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, I think he got hurt early last season. Then he's missed everything this year coming back from Tommy John.
This is why you don't pay people. Everybody wants to pay the man, though. Jim Crane, spend money, which is always one that's funny to me. He needs to spend money. Well, you know he's been above the luxury tax each of the last 2 years, right?
He does spend lots of money.
He needs to spend more.
They just want him to spend, you know.
Well, people hate losing their fan favorites.
Yeah, and they want to spend Dodgers money.
Which is
unrealistic, unless they're the Dodgers and the Mets.
I'm not sure it's Dodger money. I think it's more re-signing your own.
That's fair, yeah. Because no one wants to see guys leave.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, well, I know you don't.
I don't mind people leaving.
Well, because it works out. Like,
it's foolish to pay everybody.
Yeah, if you're going to keep guys, you should pay them early.
Yeah.
So that way, like you did with Bregman the first time.
Yeah,
you know,
Altuve.
And Altuve. Like, so you pay them, and Yordan, like, you pay them below the market value of what they're going to hit in free agency. That's the way to go always.
Yep.
And the Astros have done some of that.
No, it's just whatever. Eastern Conference Finals yesterday. Knicks are going to run away with the series, I fear.
Yeah, they are.
You know, it's going back to Cleveland. They got a chance, all of that. But, yeah, you see James Harden was a minus 22 last night. I think that I'm hate-watching James Harden.
I think a lot of people are. I did notice on X last night there seemed to be a level of rejoicing of what's happening.
I don't really like James Harden.
No, I mean, I never really liked James Harden, but – I mean, how many times – was it six times maybe? See, last night, did he have – no, so six times this year he's had, what, more turnovers than made baskets?
Oof.
I think it's been in the playoffs.
That's a bad stat.
Yeah, but, yeah, minus 22 on the night. And, I mean, Jared Allen on minus 20. But it's – I think this thing's over. Like, that first game, I just don't think you've got the right star player to bounce back after that first performance, having James Harden.
Yeah.
So this maybe it goes five. But it feels like, to me, it's like the Knicks series to just kind of run them over.
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, obviously down 2-0, Cleveland really needs to win at home. But the fact that they look – lesser athlete would have went down. They look at it, you know, Cleveland down 2-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a team that you would – that's maybe more equal in talent with their opponent, you would say, yeah, you know, maybe they can get by with a split at home. You still don't feel great about it, right? Because now it's 3-1. There haven't been many teams ever in the history of the sport to come from behind 3-1 with only one home game remaining. In fact, the first ever team to ever do that was the Mario LA Houston Rockets' kiss of death.
Okay.
So you don't feel great in that situation, but it feels like Cleveland absolutely has to win both of the games in Cleveland to have any shot in the series.
Yes.
I kind of feel the same about San Antonio, though. Like, if they allow a split, and then if the Thunder come back to Oklahoma City 2-2, like, okay, well, OKC got the home court advantage again. Like,
yeah.
I feel good about them. They would have won two of the last three in the series. They would have won one on the road. Which, did you see today that this is the first time Oklahoma City's been the underdog in the playoff, like, in 20-something consecutive games?
That's crazy.
First time they've been an underdog in the playoffs in, like, 20-something games.
I'm not surprised with how good they've been that they would be the favorite in all of these games. It was 1.5 today. So,
That's
tiny. That's not a bettable spread.
No.
You might as well just go money line at that point.
I hate betting NBA.
No, we talked about that yesterday, but
hate,
like, I could never imagine, like, see myself doing a 1.5 NBA line. Even in the NFL. I feel like what's the point of it? Just go money line at that point. When is the game is? How often do games end by a point? Feels like
probably more than you think.
Probably more than I think, but not worth betting on, it feels
no,
like.
No, definitely not worth betting on, but probably more than you think. Also, another, like, as we go, sports roulette in the city of Houston. Aaron Wilson tweeted this out about a half an hour ago, that EJ Speed partially tore his quadricep and his tendon while training. He's going to have surgery next week with a Cowboys team doctor. What? But he's expected back at some point, according to Aaron Wilson. I feel like that's an uphill battle for him to be back at some point this season with a partially torn quad and the tendon, too. Like, that feels like a 12-month injury.
But, yes, it does.
Know, I mean, everything feels like a 12-month injury to me at this point in my life. But that's not good news, because that was a position, too, we've talked about where they might be their thinnest, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, you know, backup boundary corner ain't great. Mm-hmm. But I wanted EJ Speed to be the second linebacker last year. Don't love Henry To'o, like EJ Speed a little bit more. But now you're in some, you got some not great depth at that position. I imagine the Texans might look for help there.
Yeah, I mean, because if you don't go veteran, like you're talking about Wade Woody? Woody Woodass?
Yeah, Woody. No, Wade, Woody.
But we call him Woody.
Woody Woodass.
The guy they traded for from the Patriots, but I feel like he's Marte Mapu, like
probably specialist
guy. So, like, yeah, you're probably looking for veterans now.
They did draft Aiden Fisher in the seventh round. People love him because he wore the same number as D'Amico Ryans at college.
So you're betting on two rookies to be?
I'm not betting on
the,
that.
The third guy, like when Henry To'o at times is unplayable. It feels like in coverage. I mean, he's going to have to be. So, yeah, I think going for a veteran this offseason would make a lot of sense, honestly, for the Texans, just to add there, because I agree with you. I see torn quad. I don't think, he'll be back.
No, I think he's
all right, we'll see you in 27, buddy.
And even if he's, like, healthy enough to play, where's he at? You know? Like, is he – because, I mean, he comes back, week 14? Like, you hope you're in the thick of a playoff race, and then he's, like, playing his way back into football shape, and he's already, like, your third linebacker? Like, I don't
at that
think
point,
you're not counting on anything from EJ Speed. And plus, you only get, like, an X amount of, like, pup returns and stuff like that. Who knows where you are in the season? Like, I think there's a really real chance, really real, that EJ Speed doesn't play football this year.
Yeah, I would say, like, if you were going to bet on it, like, I would look at the preseason IR that knocks him out for the season.
Oh, yeah.
That's just like, hey, like, we have to have a roster spot. This guy's not going to play until maybe week 14. You know, what's the point of wasting one of those spots on your regular season IR spots if you don't think he's actually going to come back?
Yeah.
So, like, that's I mean, that'll be the real, you know, acknowledgement of it is in the preseason if they just put him on IR and it's all done. But it's hard for me to imagine you're banking on a guy coming off a serious injury and an important piece. Like, he does special teams. He does everything for you. He's a sub-linebacker. And now if you have an injury, what do you do?
You're in trouble.
And you have a suspension from Aziz? Like, that's always on the
table? Hey, why would you go there?
I'm just being honest.
It's a Friday. We're feeling good. We're at Baker Street Pub. It's great to be out here. Great food, great drink. Going to give away World Cup tickets later? Well, we're not, but Michelob Ultra is, and we're going to be here to witness that. And you're dropping suspension talk?
I'm just saying.
That's a Monday point.
I'm just saying it's possible.
Nah, that ain't cool.
Well, we're not going to talk about this on Monday.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
we won't be here Monday.
Got to drop it in while I can.
Yeah, I don't know why you said that. I felt like a cheap shot at Aziz. I want you to tell that to Aziz right to his face.
Pass.
Yeah, I felt like a cheap shot. Like, Aziz, I'm going to take a cheap shot at you because you got suspended once for legally playing football. It was a Bush League suspension, too.
I didn't say I agree with the suspension.
It was a clean shot.
But he gets fined a lot.
He does get fined a lot.
The NFL doesn't like Aziz.
No, they hate Aziz. Remember he had, like, a talking to? Like, he went and, like, met with him and stuff? Yeah. Remember the letter? Remember the memo they sent to Aziz that, like, questioned his character and stuff?
Yeah, I do remember
and
that.
And Aziz was, like, personally offended by that?
I would be offended by that, too.
I probably wouldn't care. But, like, I also don't take things very personally, and, like, I don't really get moved by much. Like, it has to be something, like, very impactful.
Yeah, but, like,
and,
it's,
like, very close to me. But Aziz takes everything very seriously, which is admirable. I'm not bashing him at all. But he's very, like, you know, into his feelings. Is, you know, can be very, you know, sensitive. He cares about the way that, you know, he treats people and how he's perceived. So whenever he got that letter, he was really mad.
Yeah, and, like, it is the organization that you work for within the NFL writing that letter questioning your character. And you have to know as you're reading that if you're Aziz, it's like, oh, I'm definitely getting fined more. Like, he could probably feel his wallet getting emptier as he's reading that letter. So, but yeah, adding a veteran does now feel significant. Like, you're not talking about a guy who's going to – you're not banking on them right now for significant starts. But going into the season with two rookies and saying, like, well, we're an injury or something away from one of them playing significant amount of snaps, like, that's just not something I think is necessary. You can prevent that concern in the offseason. So just go sign someone for cheap.
Yeah.
$2 million.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to be really mad they didn't draft Anthony Hill from Texas.
They are.
Remember, because that was a big deal at the time. Now people are going to be really upset now that EJ Speed is hurt as well. All right, just getting started. We are live, of course, from Baker Street Pub, Sugar Land City Walk. Come on through. Michelob Ultra is going to be here from 5 until 8. They're going to be doing their virtual interactive soccer shootout.
Yes, interactive soccer.
They're going to be doing their interactive soccer shootout. You're going to have your chance to win a pair of tickets to the World Cup. Michelob Ultra from here from 5 until 8. And then while you're here, take advantage of Steak Night, $19.99. Steaks, $3 off their old fashions because it's old fashions Fridays. That's my kind of place. A bunch of drink specials as well. And Houston's Best Happy Hour from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily. So, chance to win World Cup tickets, chance to have fantastic drinks and fantastic food as well. Plenty to get to today. We'll be talking to Todd Callis live from Chicago. He's day off, though. He's going to hang out with us on his day off. TK will be talking to us a little bit later. We'll get into some of the NFL stuff. This 2014 college football we'll get to. But coming up next, Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week? 713-780-ESPN. Real quick, by the way. This junkie just said, speaking of the kiss of death, did y'all ever realize they missed a backcourt violation again on Robert Horry on that play? I'm throwing my BS flag here. We're going to check this during the break.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know right now, junkie, that if you're wrong, you're going to be ejected. Just want you to know that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You can follow along on Twitch. Watch our ugly mugs, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe live from Baker Street Pub in Sugarland on ESPN975 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN975. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Bad Take Boulevard live from Baker Street Pub, Sugar Land. A little bit later, Michelob Ultra is going to be here. They're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the World Cup with their interactive soccer shootout. So come on through. Junkie, 1970. Haha, doubtful. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. Bad Take Boulevard. So that junkie, he texted in and he said that, did you guys ever notice that Robert Horry was back, you know, he had a backcourt violation on the play? So I pulled it up on YouTube. Rockets inbound the basketball to Kenny Smith. It was Horry the inbounder. Kenny Smith in the backcourt, dribbles it up left sideline, little spin move, trapped in the backcourt, passes it to Horry at midcourt, brings it across, passes the ball to Ellie. Ellie drills the shot from the left corner. There is no way that this is even a question.
Yeah, there's.
It's not even close to being a backcourt violation. It has to come all the way across into the front court, and then that half-court line turns into basically an out-of-bounds boundary. You're not even close to being right. That is the first ejection of the show. See you later. Goodbye.
Out of here.
Speaking of the kids, did you realize they missed a backcourt violation? No, they did not.
No.
They didn't. It wasn't even close to being a backcourt violation.
Yeah, I don't. We were talking about it off the air. Like, I don't even know what the confusion is here.
I don't either.
I think I guess it's because Horry is across half court and then comes back.
I guess he thinks because Horry was in the front court and he came back to midcourt and kind of caught the ball, like kind of hovering on the midcourt line.
Yeah.
But it's not where the player's at, it's where the ball's at.
Yeah. Weird. I don't know why anyone thinks that's a backcourt.
Yeah, so you're gone. You're out of here. Junkie wants to put the Chet Holmgren slander on Bad Take Boulevard. Well, he was awful in Game 1. He was much better in Game 2, but he was atrocious in Game 1. So I don't know how that was a bad take.
Yeah.
Corpus Christi Hooks land on this list twice, Joe. They had a rough week. Their graphic person had a rough week. First, Jake Myers was already called up to the big league team. Taylor Trammell was making a rehab assignment for the Corpus Christi Hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of putting Taylor Trammell in the graphic, they put Jake Myers in the graphic, who was already on the big league roster.
Mm-hmm.
So Corpus Christi, you make the list for that. But don't worry, you're not off the hook yet because you did it again. The graphic person, this time they got Taylor Trammell in the lineup. They did the proper graphic. He was in the lineup. But they misspelled his name. They misspelled. How could you? The disrespect on Taylor Trammell. They spelled it with an E.
I think they deserve three times to make the
list.
What
else did they do?
It's still there.
Oh, really?
They didn't fix it.
Oh, wow.
You just made the list!
Yeah.
They made the list three times, Corpus Christi Hooks.
I'm looking at your tweet, and then theirs. It's still just sitting there right there spelling correctly.
The first time I bullied them into taking it off the internet. This time, I guess it didn't work.
No.
That's embarrassing.
That's like...
It's a terrible look.
Names being spelled correctly?
Right.
That's something I tell our interns to do correctly.
Yeah. How do they do it, that?
Depends on the semester. It depends on who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Alpi gets spelled wrong quite a bit.
Alpi, but that's not like a real word, you know? Like, that's kind of
Alperen Shingun.
Oh, Alperen. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Do you tell them to put the accent on it?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of tricky.
I'm not going to waste my time with that.
Yeah.
That's a Del, Sean, and Brian problem if they want it.
What about like Jeremy Pena? Do you want the little italic or whatever it's called on the N?
No. Because you know why?
Why?
I wouldn't even know how to do it.
You just hold down the keyboard letter.
Is it really that simple?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Sheesh.
What are you looking at like that for? Is that something that everyone knows?
We knew. Do you know how to get the emphasis and the accent on letters that aren't in English? Do y'all know how to do that? No. Okay. 2-2. Do you know how to do it?
He said no.
Control, no. So you know. Okay. So we're the smart ones. Yeah, I thought you were dumb. I was wrong. Well, we're just smart.
I think I can take a look here and say there's a reason why three of us don't know and two of you do.
Is that a racial joke?
Yeah.
Wow, Joe. You're not allowed to make those jokes. Yeah.
He's
Hispanic? There you go.
Oh, never mind.
He's from Chile.
Then
he's Chilean.
Then that's just cold. What
is A&M?
He lost it at A&M.
Yeah, he lost
A&M. Yeah, that's right. They teach you fluent gringo at Texas A&M is what they do. Anyways, Larry and Stafford. Do you know who Larry and Stafford is?
I do.
I love Larry and Stafford. Larry and Stafford is fun. He'll holler, you know. He'll do that. Larry and Stafford fired off a baseball tweet the other day. Dana Brown should be fired for many things, but the one thing for sure is trading Mauricio Dubon for Zach Cole.
Oh, that's wrong. That's not who Mauricio Dubon was traded for.
No. That's the bad take here.
I know.
Like, you just made the list.
Larry and Bad Take Boulevard is what he should be his new Twitter handle. I do admire that he left it on there and just kind of wore it. Like, I kind of appreciate that as opposed to deleting it. Also, like, would you have made that trade? Like, if Zach Cole was on the Braves, would you have been okay if the Astros traded Dubon for, like, 6 years of club control for Zach Cole?
You know what? I actually think I would like it more than Nick Allen.
Oh, for sure. Like, this would be a better trade.
Yeah, because, like, you got some pop.
Yeah.
Like, good feel there.
Athlete.
Yeah. Like, I would have been way more okay with that.
Yeah. Like, if Zach Cole was not on this roster and they traded Dubon for Zach Cole instead of Dubon for Nick Allen, I would be far more pleased.
I think we'd still be talking about, you know, just the salary dump for Dubon and how well he's performing in Atlanta, but I think it'd be more...
Yeah, you have a guy with promise.
Yeah.
Like, he's young. Like,
yeah.
You know what Nick the Stick is. He's a defensive replacement.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's under club control for a while, but he's a career bench guy that can't hit a lick, Nick the Stick. He can only glove it a little bit. So Larry and Stafford, he makes the list. Larry and Bad Take Boulevard, he makes the list.
You
and
the just
last
made
one
the
we
list.
Have for you. Darren Revelle, who's a big, like, money guy in sports. Remember the Knicks? They were down in Game 1 to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals by as many as 22 points at one point?
Yeah.
Darren Revelle said, MGM's building a new hotel wing in Las Vegas off tonight. 95% of the money at BetMGM was on the Knicks minus 7.5 tonight. They are down 20 with 7:29 to go. So he tried to be quick and fire off that tweet, be like,
yeah.
Oh, look, Vegas is going to make another wing because they're just going to cash in on all these stupid bettors. Well, 7:29 later, it went to overtime, right? The Knicks cruise by the Cavs, cover the number, 95% of the money, correct, Darren Revelle, and you were wrong.
And then, as you say, this community note.
The community note's so funny.
It's incredible.
Yeah, the community note says Jalen Brunson told MGM to stop the construction. That's the best community note I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's incredible, because normally it would just say, oh, the Knicks covered.
Yeah.
But nope, that's not what it says.
That is the best community note I think I've ever read.
Yes.
It is so good. But that's Bad Take Boulevard for the week. All them make the list.
Kind of a light week this week.
Yeah, kind of a light week. I didn't see a ton. Junkie says, Cantu put my mother-in-law on Bad Take. You guys are asking me to read acronyms here. This is messed up. Cantu put my MIL on Bad Take Boulevard for thinking it was a good idea to come visit us on a holiday weekend. Play La Chona for her, please. No, she's not getting thrown out for us.
Yeah, we can't do that.
You can throw her out of your house.
Yeah, that's your responsibility.
Her off the show.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want no mother-in-law smoke.
Oh, I love my mother-in-law, Joe.
You can read it.
Joe's wearing Cubs gear, representing a local sports radio station. Bad Take, be better, Joe.
What am I like?
I don't think that sports hosts should be fans, though. Like I am, but I don't think you need to.
Yeah, I'm not. If I wore Astros gear today, I'd be the biggest hypocrite on planet Earth. I wasn't going to do that.
Did you wear your matching ESPN shirt so you could match your hat?
I was trying to decide if I was going to go jersey or not, but then I just went with the ESPN shirt.
I heard a funny stand-up yesterday where there was a female comedian who was questioning males, like human men, wearing other men's jerseys because she's like, it's very questionable behavior. You have men in this country who put on shirts with their men, other people's men's name on the back of that shirt. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting way to look at it.
I mean, I don't think it's weird.
It's curious behavior for men to wear another man's shirt with that man's name plastered on the shirt.
But they also, it's
curious behavior?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's become popular, but I could totally understand how the perception of it's curious.
Yeah, I mean, also, I mean, I guess it doesn't happen everywhere because a lot of soccer kits, football kits, don't have names on the back. So it's a little different, but it's still the same intention.
It's still the same intention, yeah.
Yeah, there's just not a name there.
It's just a funny perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong or curious.
No,
it's
but...
It's a funny perspective.
You know, a lot of people have that take of, like, mention wear jerseys, like... I get it. Like, I don't agree with it, but I get why people have that take.
Eric, the driver, says it's easy to do accents on a phone with a bunch of accents on all the letters, not a regular keyboard. That's not true. Watch. Watch whenever I hold down the letter in. Watch this. Boom. That's so difficult, Eric the Buyer. It's so difficult to hold down a keyboard letter for a fraction of a second. So, so difficult. What's the title of the Spanish song played when someone gets ejected on the show? It's La Chona. La
it's a great song.
Chona. C-H-O-N-A. It's very, very good. To be fair to Larry, most Texans fans don't know much about baseball. Is that true? 713-780-3776. Do most Texans fans not know much about baseball? 713-780-3776.
That feels unfair.
To who?
To
Larry or to Texans fans?
To Texans fans. Not to Larry.
I don't know. Like, if you went, maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll go to a game at NRG. It'll be late in the baseball season. Maybe we'll just ask him, like, who is this person?
Oh, we can do that.
And, like, is it a baseball player? Is it an Astro? Like, and we'll see how casual they really are.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think it's a good, like, you know, science experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you, the interns can do the work.
I'll just make Lexi do it.
It'll be even better. Yeah.
I just got, like, a death stare.
Give her some fried pickles. She'll be good to go.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. All right, 713 and a Bloody Mary. You send her off with a Bloody Mary, fried pickles as a snack, and you're golden. You're good. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. There's so many takes out there about these 2014 playoff takes, which I actually think is like big ESPN. Like, I think big ESPN's going on trying to like kill the 2014 expansion for some reason. Like, you'd think that they would want it, more inventory. But I'm sick of reading all these. I'm sick of hearing all of them. We'll hear some of them, we'll read some of them, and I'll tell you how sick I am of them. 713-780-ESPN, Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Baker Street Pub inside the City Walk in Sugarland, ahead of Michelob Ultra coming out here a little bit later from 5 to 8, giving away a pair of tickets to a World Cup game in Houston with their interactive soccer shootout. When we come back, college football conversations. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Your local bar could be your ticket to a global stage. Michelob Ultra's soccer shootout is giving fans the chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup 26. All you have to do is show up and compete. The event series is running today right here at Baker Street Pub in Sugarland through June 15th. June 14th, you have 25 chances to win tickets to the World Cup this year, courtesy of Michelob Ultra. Today from 5 to 8 here at Baker Street Pub. Tomorrow from 11 to 2 at East River 9 and District 249 in Tomball. And then Saturday from 4 to 7 at Bar Louis back out here in Sugarland or at Tailgaters Pub and Grill on 105 in Lake Conroe. All you got to do, show up, compete for your chance to win a shot to get tickets to the World Cup in 2026. Your shot at the world's biggest game. Play for the chance to witness history because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, including California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
ESPN 97.5.
She drank wine. This is Jeremy and Joe. Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugar Land.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
That Ella Langley, so hot right now. Langley. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live. Baker Street Pub out in Sugar Land, right on the City Walk. BakerStreetPub.com, by the way. Book your watching party for your watch parties. It's home for all the World Soccer Games. They have to say that, World Soccer Games. But also great drink specials. Steak night tonight on a Friday. Where can you get steak night on a Friday? Not many places. Sammy Joe Band's going to be here. And most importantly, no offense to Sammy Joe, Michelob Ultra will be here from 5 until 8, giving away a pair of tickets to a World Cup game in Houston. Interactive soccer shootout. So you want to go to the World Cup, but you don't want to, you know, put away the trust fund for them. Come on out here. Get your chance to win, thanks to Michelob Ultra. So don't say we've never done anything for you. But between this and winning our Sweats of the Days,
what else are we supposed to do?
We might win, like, the Humanitarian of the Year?
Oh, yeah.
Houston Humanitarians of the Year, Joe and I.
We could just name ourselves that, too.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why everybody else does. Award-winning,
yeah.
You know? We're award winners.
Humanitarians of the Year.
We are.
We give people tickets.
Yep.
We tell them where they can get good food and drink.
Yep.
And we can make them money.
Yep.
Well, if they fade us or follow us.
No,
that's up to them.
No, we've won.
Well, but if they choose to fade us.
Well, that's on
that's
them.
That's their fault.
Yeah, it's on them. Yeah. That's totally their fault. That's what we do. All right, so lots of this. It's really weird, this whole, like, 24-team, 16-team. Everybody wants to expand it from 12, it seems, except for, like, the SEC and the ESPN.
Yeah.
So ESPN swears that they're not doing this, but it's very clear that they are doing this, that they're telling all their personalities, like, hey, go out there and bash the 24-team. Here are a few examples of this. Here is Paul Feinbaum, voice of the SEC. He uses some radical words here, Joe. Be careful. Brace yourself. Hide the women and children. Radical words. To show his disdain for a 24-team playoff.
24 is the worst possibility, I think, in the history of this game. 24 is the worst possibility, I think, in the history of this game. Why, Greeny? Because it is going to devalue, dilute, and perhaps destroy the greatest football season of them all, and that's the regular season in college football.
All right, destroy. A little remix. A little chopped and screwed Paul Feinbaum. So that's Feinbaum. He used the word destroy the greatest regular season of all, the college football regular season, which, okay, that's the last part of that I'm okay with. It's a great regular season. Here's Mike Greenberg, also of ESPN. Some sensationalism here, Joe, which we're used to sensationalism around this city from certain people. Here was Mike Greenberg with some sensationalism to hate on the 2014 playoff.
We live in a world where Ohio State and Michigan rest their starters for that game at the end of the season because they've got the potential of 5 playoff games still sitting in front of them. Then college football, as we have known it, ceases to exist.
Ceases to exist.
Jesus.
Ceases to exist. Ohio State. Look, Ohio State and Michigan are still going to want to win that game.
Yes.
I hate to break it to people. Plus, there's more than likely going to be seating involved there. Like, you're talking potential bye. Who knows how they're going to do the home field advantage, but you're talking home field advantage on the line. Like, do you see NFL teams that are playing for byes or home field advantage in the final week of the regular season sit their starters?
No.
Why would Ohio State and Michigan sit their starters?
No idea.
This is some sensationalism if I've ever heard. And he went as far to say college football as we know it ceases to exist. Pump the brakes there, Greeny. Chill out a little bit. Reese Davis, ESPN, College Game Day, hates college football expansion as well.
I think 24 is preposterous and 16 is bordering on it. I wish they would leave it at 12 and do an extra round of games on campus.
All right, so preposterous. 24 teams is preposterous. 16 is bordering on it, but you're catching a trend here from all these ESPN personalities, right? Here's one more from Booger McFarland, who also hates the 2014 playoff.
I definitely don't want a 24. I just think it's too much. And because once you get to 24, we're going to have teams that are 8-4, maybe 7-5 make the postseason. That's no way to crown a champion. Like, college football should be hard, which is why I was okay with 4. Then I saw what happened with 12. 12 with the on-campus games, it just took college football to a new level to play playoff games on your home campus. I think going to 16, doing away with the byes, I think is the way to go. It will be a round number. But no way, shape, or form do we need 24. To me, 24 would be the equivalent of giving everybody a trophy, a participation trophy.
Okay.
And I don't think college football
participation
needs
trophy. All right. There's 136 schools in Division I college football getting 24 into the playoffs, participation trophy. And he also said like an 8-4 team, 7-5 team could be in the playoffs, which is possible. I'll concede that is possible. But he says there's no way to crown a champion. Just because you're the 23rd seed doesn't mean you're winning the title.
No.
Like I don't get that. So you have ESPN telling all of their talking heads to bash the 2014 playoff because ESPN, for some reason, doesn't want it. So like you saw the whole car wash of ESPN personalities. Stuart Mandel, it will destroy the soul of college football. No, it won't. No, it won't. Viewership in college football has never been higher. It's not going anywhere. In fact, I would even argue that it would increase with more playoff games. Mm-hmm. More regular season games would actually matter. Does it kind of pull the magnitude of Ohio State, Michigan down a bit to Greenberg's point? I'll concede that some years it might not have the magnitude that it once did, but you're going to have more teams that are fighting for playoff spots. They might not be big brand teams, but more teams are fighting for playoff spots, which means more eyeballs, more people are invested because more people still have a chance. Now, somebody else said willingly killing the best regular season in sports would be insane behavior. I forget exactly who it was that said that. The regular season's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. People are still going to love the regular season. If it takes away anything, it's going to be the conference championship games of these conferences, which isn't in the regular season whatsoever. And because more teams are going to have a fighting chance to get into the playoff, I think it actually enhances the best regular season in all of sports. Secondly, what's the like name of the game? The name of the game's eyeballs, right? It's viewing, it's ratings, all of this. Do we think that the ratings are going to go down because of this?
No.
They're going to increase because of this. Ohio State, Michigan is going to pull just the same amount of eyeballs that it always has. But this enhances, like, I don't know, NC State, Virginia. Like, all of a sudden, that game has stakes on the line where people are going to watch that game. More inventory involved here. And here's the other thing. If you love 12 teams so much, don't watch until they get down to 12 teams.
Yes.
It's pretty simple.
Well, and like I don't get – I think I have a theory on why ESPN's pushing this. I think it's because they know that once they get to 24, they're going to lose control. Because college football is going to wise up and say, with this extra games of inventory, why are we selling to one network? That, to me, is what this feels like. This feels like very intentional of, we know we are going to lose our flagship thing that we have of the college football playoff, and we're going to wake up one day, and you're going to have a 2014 playoff, and CBS, Fox, and ESPN, and maybe even NBC are all going to have rights to college football games in the playoffs. The national championship game might still be on ESPN, but there's going to be first-round games on another TV network. Like, that's the only explanation. Like, I prefer 16 over 24. I think just playing all the games at home in the first round is fine. I don't think you have to go to 24, but what's it going to change? Michigan was irrelevant this year, for the most part, right? Outside of Sharon Moore getting fired. We'd barely talked about Michigan this year, except for Ohio State weekend. That game still mattered. And actually, what this should do, expanding to 24, is in theory it should increase the significance of the regular season. Because Texas should now be saying, we will sign a 5-year contract instead of a 2-year contract to play Notre Dame. The University of Houston can play Alabama. You can have all these different interconference games. Because to their point, what does it matter if you lose? Because there's more games. So why do we have to, we can get the cupcakes gone. And yes, I know those schools, if you're not paying them $1 million to come to Alabama and get their butt whipped. But in theory, we can get better regular season games because more teams can get in. So like it can have the opposite effect if everyone kind of gets on the same page. I don't know if they will or not. But like in a perfect world, It should be week one, Big Ten versus SEC. Week two, SEC versus Big 12. Week three, SEC versus ACC. And we should come up with a schedule that allows these interconference games to enhance it. And it's just gonna. But still, like even if you lose two of those games, Alabama could still make the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's gonna be okay, Paul Feinbaum. Like, all your SEC teams are still going to get in.
It's just so weird how all of the ESPN personalities all came out on the same day being anti. Like,
you would think somebody would have the contrarian take.
No one does.
Like, the fact that they're all in alignment, it's a clear marching order from up top of, we don't want a 2014 playoff because of what it's potentially going to do to our revenue and losing these playoff games down the road, or that it's going to cost them another $1 billion.
This was big talk.
Big talk
was going on at ESPN to pull down the 2014 playoff.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting, honestly,
it's gross.
They're all.
I hate ESPN.
Yeah, I just don't get why. Like, I love it. I love the idea of like.
I love the 2014 playoff. I can't wait for that. But it always fascinates me too. Like the non-ESPN, like even people who just don't want the 24. They're just fans of the game, right? I don't want 24. Well, why not? Well, it should be 12. Okay, well, don't watch the first half of it.
Yeah, I mean,
just wait until they get down to 12 and then start watching then.
I like 16, and my main premise of that right now is I want to see more of a sample size of what these bye weeks do. Through 2 years of the 12-team playoff, one team that's had a bye week has advanced into the next round, and that's Indiana.
And they won it all.
So is that something that is a, you know, just these 2 years, the playoffs have been weird. Obviously, it's been two different formats, so it's hard to say. Because obviously, that first year, Arizona State and Boise State didn't deserve to have the bye weeks that they did. But, like, is that a trend? Because then if you are talking about teams 1 through 8 having a first-round bye, and they're at a significant, you know, disadvantage for whatever reason, because they can't handle it like NFL teams can, then I don't like that. So I would have liked to go to 16 first and see how 12 plays out a little bit more, too, of if that's a trend, that's something that we should watch. But yep. 24 is not going to be the end of the world.
No.
And people, like you said, like, well, then don't watch. The thing is, they're going to.
Oh, yeah. The people who bash the playoff expansion are the ones that watch every single Maction game on Tuesday nights.
Yes.
Like, go pull the numbers on that. Mega Blast says, 2014 playoff is awesome. Anybody who thinks otherwise was educated with a banana and an inner tube. I agree, Mega. That's a great point. Another junkie, Michigan and Ohio State and other big matchups across the country will still matter because the league's going to rearrange those games early in the year to make sure there isn't an insignificant game in late November by two teams safely in the college football playoff. That's a great point. Now, I don't think that those like traditional late season matchups will want to be moved by these big conferences, but you could do that in most occasions. Like, I don't think you're doing it at Michigan, Ohio State. You're probably not doing it at Texas A&M. But other marquee games, you could move up to the earlier part of the conference
schedule. That's what USC, their issue with Notre Dame was USC didn't want to have the late loss in their season to get knocked out of the playoffs. They wanted to have it in week one or week zero so they could overcome that, since they're going to lose that game most of the time. The other part of this, too, is the people who talk about these matchups and how sacred they are. I know you guys have given me grief about this, but, like, then where's the Egg Bowl? It's just gone.
Yeah.
Like I think people talk about outside both sides of their mouth here. Like, they care about these matchups, like Michigan, Ohio State. It's the only one they can reference because it's the only one that stays put. Like where was A&M in Texas for all these years? Where was – and I know people like that one. But, like, we're losing Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. We're losing Washington, Washington State. Like, we're losing all these rivalry games anyways because of conference realignment. So why are we trying to pretend like all of a sudden now we're trying to ruin the sanctity of college football when it's already been ruined?
Yep.
Like, the conference realignment's already changed all those things, and those teams could still be playing those games just like Florida State – and, you know, Miami do. Well, I guess not Florida State, Miami, but Florida State, Florida do. They still play that game every year. We still get South Carolina and North Carolina, all those games. Like, they're not in the same conference. So I think it's a lot of hypocritical talk out of college football always. Like, because the reality is like, if you can bid on it, you're going to make a ton of money.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Maybe that's what ESPN, maybe they don't want to spend all that money and they know that it's going to be split between a bunch of different networks. That's a good theory.
I think it is. Like, yeah, I think they know that like CBS is going to swoop in and say, hey, we'll take a chunk of these games, and then it's going to raise the valuation of the 2014 playoff as a whole, and they might pay more money for less games.
Mega again, 24 is the perfect number. That's a great point, Mega. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Stafford got an extension, huh? What are the Rams doing here? What are the Rams doing here? And one of the worst GMs in football got an extension. Huh? Rodgers, too. He's in the news. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe live from Baker Street Pub in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed at all. They want to get you into a brand-new lease vehicle in the next 24 to 72 hours. All you have to do is call 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. On the website, you can see all the different vehicles from, honestly, it's every kind of vehicle you want, like, you can find right there. So you don't have to go to a dealership anymore. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. DocuSign, you speak to everyone over the phone and online. They make the process simple, easy, and smooth for you. When it comes time, they'll bring that car right to you, to your home, your office, and they'll take your trade-in as well. Give them a call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Baker Street Pub and Grill in Sugarland.
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Steak night tonight. Steak night on a Friday night at Baker Street Pub, Sugarland on the City Walk. Michelob Ultra also 5 until 8. They'll be out here. Your chance to win World Cup tickets. Interactive soccer shootout, 5 to 8. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. So, get that opportunity. Get on out here. 713-780-ESPN. Ocho, yeah, that's a good call, Ocho. You're right about that. Yep, you're also right about that, 7308. All right, so Key from L.A. says, can you all talk about the Chargers? No, we're talking about the Rams right now, Key. Sorry you root for the wrong L.A. team. But Matthew Stafford got a one-year extension, $55 million extension.
Ooh, big money.
It can give him upwards of $60 million, so I guess there's some incentives to this extension, which ties him into L.A. through next season.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a Ram under contract until 2027. I hated the Ty Simpson draft pick at the time. I hate it even more now.
It does surprise me, like, because I was pro that's the Ty Simpson pick, and I thought maybe they had an understanding that Stafford was done and that he was going to be retiring at the end of the season. And, like, and maybe there's still a chance where, like, if he wins the Super Bowl in
no
L.A.
Way. You're not signing an extension year, today for $55 million and then, like, walking away with $55 million left on the table.
Yeah, because even, like, if his back falls apart this year, like, he's just going to take the money and not play next season.
Of course.
Like,
who's leaving $55 million on the hook?
Nobody.
Barry Sanders, Calvin, like, Johnson.
They didn't leave $55 million on the hook.
No, they didn't.
Like, not even close.
No.
They probably didn't leave $55 million combined on the table.
Man.
Like, so I do think it's a little weird now, like, just the way you took him, you know, like Jordan Love sat for two seasons, I think it was.
Yeah, full. Late first round.
But he was a late first round pick. Aaron Rodgers sat for a while, late first round pick. Like, yep. And I know they operate very differently.
See, the
Rams
thing that
that's an
argument you're going to hear a lot are those two players.
Yeah.
Simpson wasn't drafted late first round.
Yeah, he was drafted
Simpson
13th.
Was drafted 13th. He's far more Michael Penix than he is Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers. So best case scenario, the 13th pick of the NFL draft isn't going to play for 2 years.
Yeah.
That is half of his rookie contract. You know, whenever you have to pick up their fifth-year rookie option, you have to pick up their fifth-year rookie option after year three. So, like, he's going to play for one season, and then you're going to have to make a decision.
And that's what the Packers went through. And I remember, like, thinking back then, like, it was kind of the talk of the NFL. Was like, what are they going to do in this situation? You've also got now a lot of money, like, really locked into one room. You've got a four-year, $24 million contract is what he got. So I guess it's, like, what, $6 million plus a year guaranteed for him, but for Ty Simpson. But still, like, you're talking about $60-plus million, and part of that money is a guy who you hope never plays.
Yeah. I it's a terrible use of the 13th pick of the NFL draft for a team who is a Super Bowl contender. Well, he's a quarterback of the future. Why don't you stockpile picks when Stafford's gone?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'll be incredibly foolish and look really bad with this take whenever Simpson gets on the field. Whenever he gets on the field, the Rams are not hoping it's until 2028, and he's a really good football player. We shall see. I just think it's a bad use of the 13th pick. And I also think it's screwing over every other player on that team. Like, this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. They want to win it all, and you're using the 13th pick when you could have selected somebody who's really going to help you out,
mm-hmm.
really give you a chance, more of a chance to try to win a threat in the NFC, and you use the 13th pick on a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Hated the pick at the time, hated even more now. Joe Shane got extended in New York. He's the general manager
yeah.
of the Giants, which was famously on, or infamously, however you want to look at it, on Hard Knocks, you know, kind of botching the whole Saquon Barkley thing. Jim Mara, the owner, was like, I really don't want to lose Barkley. They really mm-hmm. lost Barkley. I'm surprised that this guy's hanging on, but apparently Harbaugh likes him.
Yeah, it felt like it was inevitable he was going to get fired.
Right.
And was not going to be the guy. I mean, one of his best draft picks, we're going to talk about here in a second, but, like, Malik Nabers uh-huh. got a busted knee.
Not his fault.
No, his fault, but, like, I mean, I just didn't think this was going to happen. Like, I guess maybe he had kind of agreed. It's almost like maybe what we talked about yesterday with Dana Brown, where Dana Brown has agreed. Could he agree to stay on as the GM but lose his power because a president of baseball operations comes in? That must be what's happening here, honestly, is Joe Shane is essentially saying, Harbaugh, you're in charge.
Yeah.
I'm going to do all the work. I'm going to do the little moves when someone gets hurt and I got to bring in a linebacker, you know, in the offseason. You're going to handle the big picture stuff in the draft. I'm just kind of here following your lead. And he must have accepted that role, and that's why he still has a job.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the second one today.
I know. He's got a bad arm.
Does that pain you?
Yeah.
Our sweat's in trouble here. Don't worry. They're gonna choke.
I lost my train of thought.
Joe Shane?
Oh, yeah. Malik Nabors, by the way. Harbaugh said today. Not Jim Harbaugh, because that's the Michigan man in Los Angeles. Key's favorite coach.
Yeah.
This is John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh said today that they're not sure when they're getting Malik Nabors back. So, see on that. Although, I think his value and his draft stock is crumbling in these best ball drafts that I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of soaking him up. I'm kind of picking him up.
I mean, it's a good bet. Like, if he's healthy, he's really their guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's wide receiver two there?
Probably Malachi Fields.
Yeah, probably like a third-round pick. Like, I just...
Oof.
I don't know. Like, that's a risky business that they're in right now. Like, they didn't really address the wide receiver room this offseason, but... You don't love hearing them being like second surgery and then kind of being like, oh, well, we'll get him back at some point this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great there. And then Aaron Rodgers said this is going to be his last hurrah.
You believe it?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I believe him.
I think because he's saying before the season, I'll take him for his word at once.
He's never said this.
No.
He never said that it's, you know, this is his last season.
I'm trying to like, what would it, like for him to be, to change his mind.
I don't think he changes mine.
I think they would have to have a really, really good year to where, like, he turns the clock back, looks like Aaron Rodgers, and they come up short in the playoffs, and he feels like they have a legit chance to win a Super Bowl the next year.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Yeah, so and that to me feels like the most far-fetched thing that's ever come out of my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't see that happening, so maybe, I think he's done.
I mean, maybe they could battle and be a playoff team like last year, but I think it's about it. Although they do have more weapons this year than they did a year ago. Ty Simpson's the best quarterback in this draft. The Rams knew it, so they picked him up before anyone else could. He'll be their quarterback of the future or a trade piece when someone really needs him. That's what the players in that locker room who are chasing the Super Bowl really want to hear. They really want to hear about the future, and they really want to hear about a guy who could be traded in a few years.
Yeah.
Like, you're screwing over your own players. Josh is from Seabrook. Could it be because Ty Simpson is too raw at the moment? That's part of it.
I mean, but, he definitely is too raw.
But it's part of it, sure. But, again, Super Bowl contender using the 13th pick. Like, look at the players that were drafted after Ty Simpson was selected. You're going to tell me the Rams wouldn't be in a better place going non-quarterback?
Yeah, how about with, like, helping their wide receiver room?
Their wide receiver room's not bad.
For now.
I mean, they run a lot of, like, heavy packages.
You can get away with, for sure. They run a lot of 13. But, like, you got Devontae Adams is at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Puka Nacua, who might be in rehab still.
Yeah, he feels like he's just one move away from
Are you paying Puka Nacua a massive contract?
You probably have to.
So, like,
he's so good, but.
Do you want to?
Nope.
Like, so could you have just taken Mekhi Lemon with the 13th pick?
Reuben Bain. I know their defensive line's really good, but, yeah, I don't love the idea of drafting quarterback whenever you're a Super Bowl contender. You can draft the offensive line. You're running 13 personnel. You drafted a tight end in the second. You could have just drafted Sadiq.
And they drafted a tight end every year over the last, like, 4 years.
You're running 13 personnel. Just draft Kenyon Sadiq there.
Yeah.
Draft they have two running backs they like, but you get my drift. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What do you think is the Texans' best offseason move? What do you think is the worst Texans' offseason move? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from Baker Street Pub in Sugar Land in the City Walk on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.